heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, this is not a fight of liberal versus conservative. It's not a fight of Republican versus Democrat either. I don't think it's a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, white lives. Yeah, it's a battle of good versus evil. It's really a fight for the soul of humanity. It's a fight for our very existence, friends. So how are we to understand and resolve this historic battle of so-called good versus evil in the world today, huh? Basically, how are we to make sense of human behavior? Specifically, I'm speaking about the dark side of human nature. We see it everywhere. In fact, are we ever going to be able to explain the human condition? And more specifically, can we human beings ever become truly moral beings? So, gentlemen, I want to talk to you about Dr. Timothy Ball. So we were scheduled to have Dr. Timothy Ball and Dr. Jay Lehrer on a program together. They've never spoke together on radio, as I understand it. But we were going to have both of them on another program. And so we had gone down that road. Dr. Timothy Ball had an article up on America Out Loud, and he seemed like an interesting fellow. I had never really spoke to him directly. Dr. Timothy Ball is a chief science advisor, a professor, author. He's a chief science advisor of the Ottawa, Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. So Dr. Ball is the author of two books on climate science and policy, okay? One is The Human-Caused Global Warming, The Biggest Deception in History, and the other is The Deliberate Corruption of Climate Science. Now, an article he had written previously for the platform was entitled Laws of Nature Confront Modern Politics, Why Trump Succeeds. So this was a totally different angle than climate science, but this was more of a political bent to it. But it was a fascinating read. And I knew Dr. Tim Ball had a lot to say about all of this. So as we were getting ready to schedule Dr. Tim Ball and Dr. Jay Lehrer for this talk, through again, the International Climate Science Coalition I told you about. So I received an email in just a few weeks ago from Dr. Ball, and he copied the executive director, Tom Harris, from the coalition, and Dr. Jay Lehrer in that email. Friends, it was the most profound email, correspondence, message I think I had ever received in. After reading the email, I was aghast, I was dumbfounded, I was startled just about to think, is he right? Is he right about this fight? The fight of what's going on in America. Now, remember, Dr. Tim Ball, he was born, as I understand it, in Europe, has lived for many, 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 many years in Canada. So he's not a citizen here of America, but as most people do, or a lot of people do, he follows American politics closely and follows, obviously, climate science and all that he does in climate change in a very serious way. So this email that was sent to me and copied with the other gentleman on, I want to read you that email now. He says, Dear Malcolm, I'm going to pass on any interview. After 40 years of struggling to get the truth out, I believe I did not change anything. I also believe, despite what I wrote about my hope for Trump, that America is slipping rapidly to an end. Now, what he mentions there, by the way, about Trump was the article I just told you about, which had hit the front page of America Out Loud, okay? He says, there is a malaise and a deep level of malfeasance that Gibbon talked about in the decline and fall. When Mueller and his team can misuse the law to the extent they did, and there is virtually no reaction from lawyers or civil liberty groups, then the nation of laws is done. Every minute Flynn sits indicted and in jail is another nail in the coffin of America. Flynn, a man jailed by illegal use of the law for entrapment. When a woman can run for president who deliberately misrepresented herself to gain financial reward and status, all while getting a law degree from a supposedly prestigious university, and nothing is done, it is over. When Dianne Feinstein sits on Senate committees and pursues citizens for wrongdoing, when her driver for 20 years was a Chinese spy and her family had business with China, and she continues to sit even though this is exposed, when Blumenthal can sit on a judicial committee and judge the ethics and morality of others, when he not only lied about actually being in combat in Vietnam, he wasn't even in the country, it is over. When politicians can use their position to openly lie and misrepresent what a citizen, Candace Owens, said, and then not give her a chance to respond, and he keeps his position, you are done. True, another politician provided her with a chance to defend herself, but that was too little too late. America is finished. It is said that a fish rots from the head down, and that is what we are seeing here. The swamp always existed, but it generally had the well-being of the American people at heart. That's no longer the case, he says. Trump made a fatal mistake when he didn't cut the dead pieces off the fish. The bureaucrats who preferred the business-as-usual practices of the Democrats and Republicans, well, now they are all working together to maintain the status quo of the swamp. And they will win, he says. Do we really believe that the removal of the power of the NOAA and NASA over the climate issue will ever occur? As long as they control the science and the politicians, anything I say or do is of no consequence. As a student of civilizations and the relationship to climate cycles, I'm aware of the cycle of civilizations. It is a 300-year cycle. And America? Well, it's well into its third century. This fits with the sequence in The Rise and Fall of a Democracy by Alex Fraser Tetler, written in the 18th century. Number one, from bondage to spiritual faith. Number two, from spiritual faith to great courage. Number three, from great courage to liberty. Number four, from liberty to abundance. Five, from abundance to selfishness. Six, from selfishness to complacency. Seven, from complacency to apathy. Eight, from apathy to dependence. Nine, from dependency back again to bondage. He then says, I should have added that the legalization of infanticide was also on Gibbon's list of signs of decline of the empire. He said, I put America between a 6 and 7. Now let's look back at that list. Number six, from selfishness to complacency. That's number six. Number seven, from complacency to apathy. So he puts America right there, 6 to 7, he says. He goes on to say, Alexis de Tocqueville also observed, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. It's one of the most famous quotes de Tocqueville ever said. It is clearly no longer good. Witness the few egregious examples above. He says, thanks, Tim Ball. Wow. I mean, the email was an eye-opener, clearly. I mean, if you get everything I just said to you, here's a brilliant man. By the way, I want to tell you that Dr. Tim Ball is in his early 80s, intellectually brilliant man. He's accomplished a great deal. But he's a man who's lived experience, senior in his experience, his knowledge base. Caring, compassionate, from what I can tell. Again, I've not met the man, but from everything I can see in his past and his background, certainly edgy at times, controversial. But people who are moving the needle forward, people who are on the front lines, they tend to be that way. We understand that, don't we? The email was a shocker to me. I was floored. I stopped in my tracks on that morning, and I just stopped staring. I stood there staring at the letter, just thinking, wow, what happened here? And the thing is, this was such a departure from the article he had previously wrote on the platform that it stunned me. What had happened in his life in this short time? Just, I don't know, maybe a week, week and a half had gone by since that article was up on the front page. And now there's this dramatic email addressed to me that says, yeah, I've given up. I've spent 40 years of my life fighting this fight, and I don't have any more fight in me, he's basically saying. And no, I don't want to come on radio and talk about this. Now, this is after he was initially excited about coming on radio. The coalition was excited about him coming on radio. Dr. Jay Lehr was excited to be on with Dr. Tim Ball. Would have probably been a historical interview, I think. Maybe we still will get him. I don't know. But obviously something changed, and change it did. From what I understand as well, he resigned his position as the director there at the coalition, the Science Coalition. Obviously, Dr. Tim Ball was going through a moment in his life. He had started to do the math, friends, and he didn't like what this equation had come to. He didn't like what he was seeing. He got tired of it. I understand that, I think, you know. But I still read the email and it's like, wow. Like, now here's a guy who, again, as I say, born in Europe and really grew up a lot of his life, and from what I understand, in Canada. And yet you feel the love and the passion of America, again, America. A great city on the hill there. Is that what it is? The shining city on a hill we talk about all the time, yeah? America is a beacon of light and of hope for so many around the world. And there are some people who don't want to admit that exactly, but it's a fact. It is man's best hope, people. I mean, it really is. It's the best we have out there. But again, as he says right here, as de Tocqueville pointed out, he says, America is great because she is good. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. So we got to ask the question here, right up front. Is America still good? Because if America ceases to be good, America is not going to be great. So is America still good? It's a real difficult question to answer. I mean, part of me wants to jump up and say, yes, she's good. She's good. It's okay. But it's a hard one to answer, people. There's a lot of stuff going on, man. And there's a lot of people, a lot of evil people, it seems, pulling at this, pulling at the fabric of America. It's reasonable to question at this point. I mean, I get where Dr. Tim Ball is coming from. I get it. I may not like it, but I get it, you know? There's a lot at stake here. I mean, if there's no America left, where are we, people? You know, as all of you go about your lives and we continue to elect a lot of the same people to office, to high office, what are we left with, you know? I mean, we sort of are crumbling. We're becoming a crumbling empire, I guess. I hate to say in some ways. I'm an optimist, so this is a very difficult conversation for me, obviously, but you think back to the Greeks and the Romans and past empires, and he points out 300 years. He's right. We're well into our third century here, people. I don't know. Does America become the exception? Are we? What about that American exceptionalism? Is that true? A lot of people shake their heads sometimes. Yeah, what does that really mean? Well, maybe that's what it really means. American exceptionalism. Yeah. If it's going to be that, then we're going to have to get it together quickly because we're well into our third century here. So the stakes are high. They're high for all of us. What do we do about it? Where do we go? How do we open up this conversation? How do we open up the dialogue? And who am I to shine a light here and bring this all to a head? Who am I? Sure, I have compassion. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe in America. I believe in that shining city on a hill. I believe there is a fight of good versus evil. I've believed all my life I'm on the side of the good fight, the good fight. Now, short times at times where that's going to take me, where it's going to take us, I don't know. But I believe we're supposed to fight forward. I do believe that in my heart, in my soul, where I'm at. I believe we're supposed to fight forward. I don't know exactly what happens around the corner, around the bend. I think there's going to be a lot of things are going to happen here ahead, friends. I think there's going to be some lessons yet to learn. We're gonna fall down. We're going to scrape our knees a bit. I can feel that coming. I know it's going to be here. It's not going to feel good, but it's going to be part of the journey. Now, what we do with it from that standpoint, and what do we leave for the next generation? And, you know, Tom Brokaw wrote some time ago, right? The greatest generation. And there are times, we look at that and we say, well, there are days we think we're the most screwed up generation. What are we leaving for the next generation? What are we leaving for the kids, for the grandkids? And I mean, does anybody really give a damn? Does it matter? I mean, we're all sort of in this self-serving attitude, aren't we? Self-serving world that we live in. Well, hooray for me and the hell with you, right? If you don't like it, too bad. So sad. Keep on moving, right? Wow. Heavy. It's a fight of good versus evil. No matter what we say, that's what's happening. I've always felt that fight. I have felt the evil forces always. The evil forces are always trying to get me, always. Always trying to get you too, I'm sure, people. You know, the evil forces, it's out there. It's a fight of good and evil. No question. This email, I responded to the email back to Dr. Tim Ball, and I copied Dr. Jay Lair, and I copied Tom Harris as well from the Science Coalition. I wasn't sure where it was going to go next. I really didn't know, but I felt I had to respond. And I responded later that day. It took me a little bit to really understand what he was saying and what kind of response did I want to put back there. I just felt I had to respond. I had to say something. I'm going to read my response, and then Dr. Jay Lair responds back on top of that. In fact, it became quite a communication chain. There were some back and forth throughout the day. I felt, in one way, I felt honored that I was part of this thought-provoking, provocative conversation. I felt really honored. Truly, I did that day. I also felt a bit cheated and why he decided to send it back to me and put all this heavy on me. What the hell was I going to do about it? You know, now I guess we're running a platform of hope and promise, aren't we now, right? America Out Loud. So it was my turn to deal with it, people, and deal with it I would. I responded later that day to the group. I'm going to share that with you as we continue on here. This is our first opening bell, friends, of The Voice of a Nation. The Voice of a Nation, Malcolm. Just a simple man, simple times, big plans, big ideas. I don't know, can one guy save the whole thing? Probably not. Can he be a voice of reason, a voice of hope, a voice of opportunity? I hope so.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So I read through the email a couple more times before responding, thinking, what did I just read? What was this? You know? And then I started to explore more of, he mentioned de Tocqueville, who is one of the most amazing thinkers. I want to talk about him as well today to you, because he was a very thought-provoking man, one of the biggest thinkers of time, of all time, I believe, you know. My response back to Dr. Tim Ball, ICC Dr. Jay Lair, and ICC Tom Harris, was this: Dr. Ball, what a stunning email. Wow. My mouth was on the floor. In fact, I just picked it up. He said, listen, I get it, I said. You're simply stating what I call the out loud truth. I understand that. It's my language, so I fully get it. I often question if we should give up or if we should continue the fight myself. And when you really think about it and you study civilization, history, and the big picture of a godly world, I come to the conclusion that I'm supposed to fight forward. Sometimes, some days reluctantly, but fight I do. I spent 25 years in corporate boardrooms and only made the move to this media platform 8+ years ago, Dr. Ball. It was to make that change and impact the world in every way that I could. You did me a big favor with your email. You lit a fire underneath my burning flame that was already burning, but now it reaches higher. I don't have all the answers, clearly, but I promise you, brother, I will search for them and shout them from the mountaintops. Just take a look at the front page of the platform, America Out Loud, and I hope this confirms my commitment to the cause, to America, to the world, and to God Almighty. Thank you. So now enter in Dr. Jay Lair. So let me tell you about Dr. Jay Lair. He's a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, just a brilliant, amazing man. What an honor it is to play with him in the sandbox of life. Again, early 80s, amazing talent. In fact, I'm going to have him on The Voice of a Nation. He's got a book out, as I understand it as well, on health and fitness. He's one of the most health, fitness, well-trimmed guys, and great mind, big thinker, just a joy to talk to people like this, I have to tell you. And for me to have the pleasure to play with him on any level is like the ultimate high. I mean, it's my drug of choice, you know. I'm blessed. We're blessed. I mean, platform is, we're chock full of amazing people. I don't know why, but Dr. Jay Lair is at the top of that list very clearly. So let me tell you about him. He's the senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition I was telling you about, yeah? And he's the former science director of the Heartland Institute, okay? All right? He's testified before Congress on many, many, many times. He's dealt with a lot of these politicians. He knows them, knows all sides of them. He's dealt with them on environmental issues and consulted with nearly every agency of our government, as well as many foreign countries as well. Now, Dr. Jay Lair is an American. He lives in this country. He gets it. He understands it. But now he's part of the same group again, that International Climate Science Coalition I was telling you about with Tom Harris. Same group that Dr. Tim Ball was involved with, right? So he responds to the email, okay? And he copies, again, everybody back, the same group, okay? Dr. Tim Ball and Tom Harris, myself. And he says this. Here's Dr. Jay's response. This is among the most depressing pieces I have ever read, and I feel so sorry for Tim. But think where America would already be without President Trump. Given another 4-year time, he will not work miracles, but the intelligent populace will be exposed to the very things that Tim has described, and some of them will move to the better side. After all, we do know that all it takes for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. Now, the world has always been in a battle of good versus evil. But now evil has come out of the shadows, and more people will see its hideous face, he says. As in any war, we must never give up till there remains no one standing. General Custer statement, huh? Things are surely no more bleak than they were with Washington's troops at Valley Forge. In brutal cold, with inadequate food and clothing, I have often said that Trump is our General Washington and we must fight on. Okay, so that was Dr. J's response, okay? And, you know, Dr. J and I have talked about this good versus evil fight privately. In fact, he chimed in early on a couple times to me and said to me, you know, we have a lot in common. He says, I can't believe you talk the way you talk about good versus evil. And I talk about that all the time. And I just find a connection to you, Malcolm, with that. And he said that a couple of times to me off mic and probably on mic as well somewhere. It's been on a few times. And I listened to him and I think, wow, well, there's a lot to what he says there. I've always seen it this way. And the fact that he sees it that way and we have that connection, that bond to understand the big fight that we're up against is a beautiful thing. So his email about being one of the most depressing pieces, and in some ways it was a depressing piece, friends, but in other ways it was a magical email as well to me. You see, I looked at both sides of it, and I looked at the fact that Dr. Tim Ball was delivering a message. He was delivering a message, and it was a message I was supposed to read, I was supposed to hear, I was supposed to feel, it was supposed to hit my soul, my heart, my brain, and it did. He did me a big favor. I mean, at first I wasn't sure what to make of it, but and then when Dr. J responds, he says, it's one of the most depressing pieces I've ever read, and I feel so sorry for Tim. Well, he felt sorry in the case that maybe Tim has lost his hope, his optimism, and he had. Something had happened over that period of time because, again, the previous article he had up on the platform just within the maybe a week and a half prior to that was a tremendous lift, a great piece. Okay, but anyways, so Dr. J responds that way. And all right, so let's keep it going now. So what happens next, I don't know. I left it alone at that point. I'm dealing with some really smart guys here. I'm going to see where this thing falls, people. I'm not going to just stick my nose in there and start stirring the pot. I want to see what they say, where they want to go with this. Listen, I'm just in for the ride here. I'm buckled up, got my seatbelt on. I'm in for the ride. What are we doing next? Tell me, guys, what do you want to talk about? You know, what's happening? So, sure enough, later that day, it was sometime later in the day, Dr. Tim Ball responds. I thought, wow, okay, let's see what he says. I don't know. I don't know how well, I really don't even know how well these guys know each other. Now I find out they know each other very well, but I don't really know. I don't know them well enough to know how well they know each other. I figured maybe he's got something that he didn't like that maybe Dr. J said, but I really didn't know what to expect. So I open up the email, and here's what Dr. Tim Ball says. He says, think about what you wrote. In quotes, he said, he's referencing J back, Dr. J. But think where America would be without Trump, in quotes, close quotes. He goes on to say, Dr. Tim, in other words, one person stood between all the ills of America and its demise, which confirms my point. Wow, that's profound, people. That's profound. So Dr. Tim is saying now that's... That's profound. I hadn't thought of it in those terms, but there are a lot of people who really believe that out there, that Trump was sent here for a reason. Like him, love him, leave him, whatever. But he was sent here for a reason. That's what he's saying here, Dr. Tim Ball. He goes on to say, everything I said is true. And though Trump made some changes, they are cosmetic. They will all still be there when he is gone. As he said about his tax cuts, one stroke of the pen. You offer the vague hope that Trump might survive. But then what? He can't even get his appointees in place. Dr. Tim Ball goes on to say, I wrote before he was elected that he would not be able to undo and replace everything the bureaucrats did to assure control. Well, as Mary McCarthy said a few years ago, bureaucracy, the rule of no one, has become the modern form of despotism. The only way to eliminate a despot is to cut his head off. That is not happening. You saw the mentality and the few that were exposed at the FBI and DOJ. And by the way, I don't buy Hannity's nonsense about the few at the top. No, the rank and file knew what was going on and did nothing. As the Roman philosopher asked, who guards the guards? In this case, we have the guards, the FBI, unable to guard themselves. Meanwhile, the Republicans, who guaranteed Obama's second term, in which he almost made the deep state unassailable, are like conservatives everywhere speaking out. However, like conservatives always do in a fight, they circle the wagons and shoot inward. No true words have been spoken, huh? There is a difference between realism and depression. I gave you realism because it is what you must identify and deal with to save a situation. Just even briefly, what happens if Trump is assassinated? Can Pence cope? Dr. Tim, wow, what a response that was. Wow. So you think about that. I think there are some of us who have asked the same question, probably not out loud, but probably to ourselves. What happens if the president is assassinated? And how real is that possibility? I mean, he's going against the grain. He's going against the odds. He's, you know, draining the swamp. He's upsetting the apple cart. People don't like it. They don't like him. The deep state, they're not happy with it. None of them are happy with him. Republicans and Democrats alike. He's changing the system, changing the guard. He's a different man, a different character for a different time. Came really virtually out of nowhere. Guy who never ran for politics before. It's historical. We're living in historical times, people. This is a historical moment in time. I mean, we're here. We're living it. We're seeing it happen right in front of us. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves, is Trump the savior? Does he save the republic? And it can't just be one person. I'm not suggesting that he himself can save the republic. Not at all. It's got to be all of you out there that save the republic. Can't be just Trump. He can only help turn the lights on. He can only help open the door. He can only do so much, people. In America, it takes we the people, as I say all the time on broadcast, we the people. We the people have to get behind, have to show our support. We have to know who we're putting in office. We have to know why we're electing them to high office. We have to stand behind good in that fight of good versus evil. We have to recognize good. We have to know where good is. We got to be able to recognize who's good, who falls into the camp of good, who falls into the camp of evil. And of course, some people, it's not always blatantly in your face. Sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes you can't really tell. You have to look a little beyond the obvious. Sometimes you got to really study the subject to really know. But Dr. Tim comes back with another quandary, quite a response. Well, at this point, I was dripping in it, believe me, just dripping in it. I left it alone. I still wasn't going to respond, people. I wanted to see where this thing was going. Yeah. So later on that day, Dr. J wrote back, copied everybody on it, and he said, Tim, I do not disagree with anything you say. I just will not give up, regardless of how small my personal contributions may be. As for Pence, I think he would definitely carry on Trump's program. Jay, to the point, short, sweet. That was the answer back to everybody, right? So I thought now, and some time went by now, there was no response, and I thought, well, let me respond again to the collective group. And so I responded carefully. I said, gentlemen, this is the fight of a lifetime. I get it. I am all over this, believe me. There is a purpose to my call in myself and what lies ahead. I said, you see the incredible work we're doing here. The people who we've amassed from all over the world, we plan to win this fight, and we'll get louder and louder as we do it. We're just getting started here. I felt that passionately. I felt it in my heart and my soul, my mind. And I, you know, did I have a lot of right to say that? I mean, it's, what right do I have to respond in such a way, really, right? Who am I? Just one guy again, one man, right? But if God's working through me, and if I'm doing some heavy lifting, then I feel like I have every right to say that. I feel I have every right to be a voice of the people and to put it out there. You're always going to have naysayers, people. You're always going to have people in the evil camp that are going to try to knock you down. People that ridicule you, make fun of you. I never did worry about those people. Never did in my life. I don't give them the time of day. I don't let that negative vibe, that negative information, I don't like it penetrate my brain, my soul. I avoid it like the plague. So Dr. J. Lair responds. He says simply, that is so encouraging, Malcolm. Wow. And that's where we ended at that point. That was that trail of emails. Wow. You know? So Dr. Tim Ball did us a favor. He did us a favor. And so I saved all of this. I haven't shared what I just shared with you. I haven't shared with anybody, friends. You're the first one to hear it. I did tell some people here in our inner circle that I have received this amazing chain of emails, this amazing trail of communication from some brilliant men. And I felt honored to have received it, but I didn't quite know what I was going to do with it. But I didn't share it with anybody. I didn't read it to anybody. I wanted to, in this particular case, be a little selfish. I selfishly kept it to myself, figuring that at the right time, at the right moment, at the right place, I would share it with folks, the inner circle, and our fan base, our public, and the world. I would share it. I would put it out there and share that there are these brilliant men that are, I mean, amazing contributors to our world, men who've lived, experienced life, and you see their reaction to what is really obvious to all of us. We may not be willing to admit it. Some people may not be willing to admit it. I'm willing to admit it. I know we're in for a hell of a fight ahead. I can see what's going on, clearly. I know what's happening. I'm driven every day I get up for this fight. And there are times where we're having some conversations on the platform here that I sort of know we're, as I sometimes say, pissing in somebody's cornflakes. And I know that. And of course, you make the wrong people upset on the wrong day and they're liable to come after you. You become a target, I guess. I recognize that as well. And when you start talking about some of the heavy topics out there, things that people don't want to talk about. They want to talk about the corrupt politicians. They want to talk about deep state. They want to talk about Islam. They don't want to talk about the fight of good versus evil. They want to talk about the corruptness, how evil government really can be. But we're having some of that fight and we talk about it here. Yeah, well, does that make us a target? I don't know. It may. But we can't stop talking about it though, can we now? You know? Someone's got to do the lifting here. Someone's got to be on the fight of good versus evil. We've got to be on the good side. And I believe that God has our back at that point. He's got to have our back. Hope he has our back. He better have our back. I'm counting on him that he has our back. Let me just say that in a declarative way. I'm counting on him that he has our back. Yeah. Now, I hope he has Trump's back as well. I hope more than that he's got America's back. That's what I'm really hoping. There are some recent examples in the news, friends, about good versus evil in this fight we're having right now. So as we start the conversation up here on the Voice of the Nation, the idea is, we may be starting off at a strong, provocative message, something that makes you think, but if we don't get ourselves to think, if we can't push the envelope just enough, just to get uncomfortable, then where are we going to be at? We've got to get uncomfortable. If we don't get uncomfortable, because that's where it happens. It's where the traction is. It's where innovation happens. It's where things are unique. It's when we get uncomfortable. And we continue to push the envelope, even when it feels uncomfortable. Friends, we're at that moment of being uncomfortable. There's some weird stuff going on out there. And there's a tremendous fight of good versus evil. And we've got to bring that fight forward. So as we turn the lights on here on the Voice of a Nation, it's Malcolm. It's just me. Just simply me. I'm going to be the voice to bring it forward. I'm going to keep the lights on, people. I'm going to keep the lights on. I'm going to try to give that hope. You know, I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic, of course. I know we're in a battle, though. I know what's happening. But I got to believe good wins. Like Dr. Jay Lehrer, he believes it as well. I believe it. I think Dr. Tim Ball, inside of himself, I hope he believes it. I think he's questioning it at this point. At some point, you know, you keep banging your head against the wall and, you know that old saying, right? At some point, you sort of have to you come to your own reality dose. Is anything really changing? Am I making a difference out there? Are you making a difference out there? What part do you have in all of this, I wonder? We have to believe we're all making a difference, friends. It's a big fight out there. We have to be making a difference. If we don't do it, then who? Who's going to do it? What are you going to rely on the next person, the next guy, the next gal to do it? Right? How do you know what they're going to do? I mean, we got to do it. We got to bring this thing forward, friends. It comes down to us. It's what it's all about here. So good versus evil. That's where we start here on the Voice of a Nation. The silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Started the program today talking about the fight for the soul of humanity, the fight for our very existence, and this battle of good versus evil, right? So what is good? Well, good means a lack of self-centeredness. It's the ability to empathize with other people. Empathy, right? Empathy, to feel compassion, to put their needs before your own. That's, sometimes it's easier said than done. But there's a lot to that. It means, if necessary, sacrificing your own well-being for the sake of others. It means benevolence, altruism, selflessness, self-sacrifice towards a greater cause. All qualities, friends, which stem from a sense of empathy. It means being able to see beyond the superficial difference of race, gender, nationality. It's all of that. So all of the saintly people in human history had some of these qualities. You think of Gandhi, Martin Luther King. They risked their own safety and well-being for the goal of gaining equal rights and freedoms for people, right? They did. These were human beings with an exceptional degree of empathy and compassion. There's a lot of examples of that actually through history. There's a lot of examples of that. We may very well have one in the Oval Office right now. Now, evil people, well, these are those who are, they're unable to empathize with others. They don't have empathy. And I've thought about this a lot. It's a result of their own needs and their desires. They put themselves first and they believe that's of paramount importance to themselves. They're selfish, self-absorbed, narcissistic, if you will. Narcissistic. I think of people like Stalin and Hitler and everyday serial killers and rapists. You know, you hear those crimes, you see those crimes when they happen like that. And I've often wondered, how can another person do harm, rape, or kill another human being? Could you do that? Could you harm, rape, or kill another? I couldn't do it. Can't do it. Couldn't do it. Never could do it. Would be unable to take someone else's life in that way, or rape somebody, or kill another human being. Yeah. I mean, we can argue back and forth, but you know, we're being, I think the word I want to put out there is desensitized as a society. I've talked about this before on broadcast. Movies, crime shows, videos, we're being desensitized. The human brain is being desensitized. I think that's one of our problems we're seeing at this plight of our existence and in this generational force we're in. People are being desensitized. And the profiteers are profiting from all of it with those movies and crime shows and killings and murders and rapes and just destruction everywhere, videos. And where's all that do to your brain? I mean, and what about the kids? I mean, the kids, the adults, and the people who maybe have a couple of screws loose. So you got to begin to ask yourself, are you a Gandhi or a Hitler? Where do you fall, friends, in all of this? Yeah. So desensitization, we've got to keep that in our minds moving forward, what that really means, you know. So a lot of recent examples in the media, take like the scandal in the university deal. Yeah, there's a lot of examples there where a lot of these parents, families were caught with their hands in the cookie jar doing evil stuff, trying to buy. And was that really evil, though, I guess is what I want to throw that at you. I mean, they felt like they were trying to do good for their kid. So where does that fall into this conversation? Was that evil or was that good? They probably thought they were doing good, but they broke the law and did evil stuff. So how does that fit into this equation, right? And then, of course, now the people who were taking advantage of them, like this Rick Singer dude, the consultant, William Rick Singer, he was the consultant who was scuffing up a lot of the money, right? And so, you know, obviously, I mean, I think we would all agree this is probably more on the evil side. I mean, he was the one that was pocketing all this big, big money and pocketing from some people who couldn't even speak our language. There's a lot of documentations on this now that some of the folks from China, they just thought it was a donation of some sort, or that that's what you did, or that's how you did it, or that's how you got your kid into an Ivy League school. It wasn't a big deal, right? So in that perfect case, I mean, that's, you know, those people, some of those folks, I understand, will get off, won't get charged or be put in jail if they didn't really know. You got to prove guilt. You got to prove the fact you knew what you were doing. But what about these others, a lot of these celebrities who kind of put their thumb and nose up to the whole thing? They knew what they were doing, clearly. They knew it was wrong. But again, they thought they were doing right for their kids. So does that become, you know, again, right? See? You see where I'm at? Good and evil there. That's a little more challenging, that those cases there. But you see all the evil that goes on a daily basis, and then you wonder. Now, and we talk about good and evil, and it's going to be a constant theme here on The Voice of a Nation, no doubt. But then what about when something happens in your life and you get hit with some big disease or something, whatever it might be, some sort of cancer, some sort of a problem, something happens? Well, I seen a social media message the other day from a lady. I want to change her name just so nobody knows who she is. I'm going to call her Susan. I'm going to call her Susan in Vermont. Okay? That's not her name and that's not her location, but Susan in Vermont. So I see a message from her. Listen to this. It's caught me. I mean, I was riveted to this one as well. She says, "Oh, fudge." She used a different word than fudge, but you get the picture. "Oh, fudge. I'm a good person, so why is God trying to kill me?" ? Right? "The doctor called. I have a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis," she's speaking of here. "It's a blood clot that forms in a vein deep in the body. If the vein swells, it can break loose and cause a serious problem in the lung called a pulmonary embolism, a PE. And then she says that could progress to a PE, pulmonary embolism. Killing me. Have I not been a good woman? A kind and caring nurse?" And obviously this lady's a nurse. "Have I not endured never-ending freaking cancer? God, I hate you. Truly hate you." So here was a lady who had some sort of disease and she's shouting out to God she hates him. And that one just caught me at the moment. I said, oh my God, this is like profound. I had to go look and see what's happened to this woman. I looked at her feed and noticed she looked like, from what I could gather real quickly from the couple of moments I looked, she looked like a fairly faithful woman, probably a fairly religious woman. And now she was pissed. And, you know, so again, that fight of good versus evil, that's a tough one, isn't it? You know, she's crying out to God. And I mean, I don't think she really means she hates God, but she's expressing that in that frustrated moment. as to what's really happening. And this is hard when something like that hits yourself or your loved one or somebody. And then you begin to question, where's God in all of this? Why is God doing this to me? Why? That is a fight of good versus evil, if there ever was one, right? I'll tell you what, I'm sending positive energy and blessings to this woman. I hope she finds peace and that all of this, there has to be a purpose, friends. Has to be a purpose. And I want to tell you about this other story I just wrote about here. Riley Howell, he's the young man at the UNC. You know what I'm speaking about. Yeah, the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. The recent shooting there that killed a couple of people, injured four. Another shooting on a college campus in America. It's happened too often. This is the force of evil. Again, this is the desensitization of society, people. This is where people are being, they're taken down. They're being overwhelmed by evil forces, and they're acting out, and they're going into movie theaters and college campuses and in public venues, and they're taking people out. This is the ultimate force of evil. I don't know. You're all going to have to wake up at some point and understand how much of the stuff you want to put in your body, how much of these negative video games and horrible movies and, you know, how much of this is desensitizing the American people, desensitizing the world, the public. It's really something we got to ask ourselves here. All for the profit of big corporations, as far as I can see. I mean, what kind of good does any of that? Is that pure entertainment to watch somebody be slaughtered, raped, murdered, mayhem? How does that entertain somebody? Why is that a source of entertainment? I can't wrap my mind around it. Never could. Don't like those movies. Don't find them a source of entertainment. In fact, I find them despicable, disgusting, rude, and obnoxious. I don't see the purpose of them. I don't understand where that. Why is that entertainment? Why do people want to buy that garbage? Why do they want to spend their time putting that fear and that hate and that viciousness and that evil into their psyche? God. Back to this Riley Howell moment here now. Yeah, again, University of North Carolina in Charlotte. And this is a case where, you know, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time, or was he at the right place at the right time, people? Think about that. Wow. So here's a young guy, 21 years old. Okay. He's an ROTC cadet. Right? Full life ahead of him. Looks like a gregarious young man. Great image, picture of him. I just wrote about him on the brink of greatness, in fact, on our other platform, brinkofgreatness.com. Just wrote about him. I was moved by this young man, really, really moved by him. I'm hoping at some point I'd like to have his parents on and just hold their hands a minute through the means of technology and talk to them about what a great son they had, what a great human being. Wow. Talk about the fight of good versus evil. Well, here's a kid who, through his heroic efforts, we don't know how many lives he saved, but he had the gunman right in front of him, face to face. And as I say here in my write-ins, what would you do? Do you run from the spray of bullets? Do you run towards the gunman? Do you freeze in the panic of the moment? What do you do? Think about that, huh? What do you do? What do you do? You got to decide right now, people. You can't deliberate. You can't do what you think you're going to. You can't sit there and, well, I'll get back to you. No, you can't get back to me. You got to decide right this second. What are you going to do? Can't get back to me. You got to kill him in front of you with a gun. You can't say to him, excuse me, can I just pause this scene a moment here? I'll get back to you. I'll decide what I want to do. Doesn't work that way, does it now? You got to decide right now. What are you going to do? Well, we know what Riley Howell did. Mason, this young man, he charged the shooter, knocked him on his ass. Effectively, he tackled the killer and took the fight right to the assailant. And that's what, again, the chief of police, Kerr Putney is his name, of Charlotte. It's what he said. Wow. I mean, Riley Howell saved countless lives. As he goes on to say, Putney says, unfortunately, he gave his life in the process, but his sacrifice saved lives. So I start thinking, he gave his life in the process. So what is life? are any of us willing to give our life? What's the ultimate sacrifice? In fact, he did the ultimate sacrifice. He got buried, by the way, with full military honors. You never happened with it. As a student, do you ever get full military honors? That never happens, but it was a White House petition put in place and a lot of signatures. Anyway, so it was the obvious thing to do. I mean, the young man is a superstar. He's an angel. He's an angel, absolute angel. He's a hero. He's one of God's people, clearly. Obviously, God had other plans for Riley, you know? But I start thinking about it, and you'll see the picture of this kid, and he's a good-looking kid. I mean, deserved to live his life out in every way. But I don't know. Who am I to say he deserved to live his life? I mean, I guess he's got something ahead that's got to be terrific in the whole eternity of existence people, right? It's got to be something out there, right? It's got to be something beyond the pond, correct? Got to be something. We've got to have some faith, don't we? Isn't God in here somewhere? Isn't there something more than just this blue marble here? I mean, it has to be, right? Has to be. Yeah. Wow. This story impacted me very much so. But these stories do impact me because I have a capacity to want to right the wrongs and put justice where injustice is. And as a young man who, you know, he leaped into it, man. He leaped into it. I mean... So I dedicate this program today, our first program on the Voice of a Nation, to this young man, this brilliant, brave, heroic young man, Riley Howell, UNC, University of North Carolina in Charlotte, steps into it without hesitation, and he takes one for the team of humanity, people. Huh. Well, could you do that? Could I do that? I don't know that we could answer that unless we had the gunman right in front of us, but then we better decide quickly, shouldn't we now, huh? He touched all of us in ways that most will never do. As I say, his purpose is just 21 years old, people, was unexpectedly redefined in that moment, you know? And probably if Riley had lived to the age of 93, he probably would have never experienced a moment like that again. Riley Howell defines the word hero, without a doubt. So, friends, as we open up the Voice of a Nation, there's going to be a lot of things we talk about on this program. And you'll hear it 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's the opening bell to a program I hope to use like a diary almost, tackling some of the biggest issues and challenges of our lifetime, talking about some of the most tremendous opportunities, but always addressing the fight of good versus evil. Our email address here is liberty@americaoutloud.com. That's the email address for this show, liberty@americaoutloud.com. So that is... That email address is yours exclusively out there to communicate with myself and our producer. That's what I want you to do. Now, I'm going to have our producer on for the next show. You'll hear who that is. I'll open that up. Somebody you may know, you may not know, I don't know, but you'll meet them on the next program, friends. And I thank you for being part of this opening bell for the Voice of a Nation. Friends, it's all back at AmericaOutloud.com. We'll see you on the other side.